Thank you, Brother Bob, for that song selection tonight. And thank you for choosing to be in our assembly to worship God as we trust in spirit and in truth. I don't know of any people in this community that respect the Bible any more than the people in this room. I know the people in this room love the Word of God, and they love the opportunity to study it and to share it with others. And I appreciate that so very much. Tonight, just a small detour from what we usually do on Sunday night, and also in view of our gospel meeting coming up in 4 weeks, I'd like to think together with you about some practical things, and on the subject of an open door that we saw when we studied the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul and the good accomplishments that he was able to pursue in teaching the gospel and making converts to Jesus Christ in the pages of our New Testament. Back in the first century, in New Testament times, when he went into the world fulfilling his commission that the Lord had given the other apostles and also to him as a special apostle to the Gentiles, preach the gospel. We noticed in Acts 14 and verse 27, when Paul had returned to the church at Antioch following the completion of what we call the first missionary journey, when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. I think as we look in the pages of the New Testament, we come away with a concept of how important it is for those who are Christians to teach people the Word of God, to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ, even if they must endure hardship to do that. Jesus wants everyone to hear about the good news. In his commission to his specially chosen 12 disciples, the apostles of Jesus Christ, he commanded them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans in the very first chapter about the power of the gospel in Romans 1 and verse 16. The power that it has to bring salvation to the life of those who believe. But what really is the most effective way to reach people with the gospel of Christ today? I'd like to show you survey results taken by the Institute for American Church Growth. And they ask 10,000 people this question: what was responsible for your coming to Christ and his church? And they took the answer from 10,000 people and tabulated those answers and came up with some results. And I'd like to share those with you because I think that maybe they might be somewhat surprising. What was responsible for your coming to Christ and his church? 10,000 people surveyed. Only 3% said, "I had a special need, and that was the reason why." Only 3% said, "I just walked through the doors of the church that I happened to be converted in." Just walked through the doors. You see that those two are very low numbers. 6% said, "I liked the minister, and so I was converted." Only 1% said, "I visited there." 5% said, "I liked the Bible classes, and that led me to be converted." Only 0.5% said that the reason I was converted was because I attended a gospel meeting that they had. "I liked the programs that they had there." Only 3%. And I think that's somewhat surprising in view of in the religious world, we see that other religious groups strive very hard, very strong to create programs that will cause people to be interested and come and ultimately be converted. The most surprising thing of all, 79% said a friend or a relative invited me. Now that is a shocking statistic to me. Is it to you? A friend or a relative invited me. What do we learn from a survey like this? If churches are to grow, it has to be through the efforts of the individual members of that church. I think that's a pretty rock-solid statement we can make about the results of a survey like this. Preachers, programs, classes, they're important, and they may help. But in most cases, they will only maintain the size of the congregation. They will not increase it. These efforts are worthwhile because they can reach people that might not have been able to be reached otherwise. The greatest potential lies with people, though, who have some contact with the person that needs the gospel of Christ. Each of us, in our own sphere of activity, work, relationships with other people, whatever it might be, each one of us has a unique set of people that are in our lives, that touch our lives, that influence our lives, and we influence their lives. You have friends, relatives, and contacts that maybe no one else in this congregation has. And that's a unique thing. Now, the Old Hickory Church doesn't currently have a massive outreach to the general public through the means of television, for example. We don't purchase television time. We don't have a slot where we do preaching over the television or the radio, or we don't have a large newspaper audience. Those type of things are designed to reach people in mass, so to speak. So we need to utilize the contacts that we do have. And this statistical analysis shows where a very effective area for reaching people with the gospel of Christ can be. Our contacts made through our members, and also our visitors who walk through those doors in the back. Two things are needed to utilize the contacts made through our individual members. Number one is a concern for the lost. And I think that the Bible students here have a concern for the lost. I certainly believe that. The second thing that's needed is a knowledge of how we can increase our opportunities to share the gospel with people that we frequently contact in our day-to-day lives or in our relationships. That's important. So maybe tonight, just think about some practical things that you can use. Now, my perspective might be a little bit different from yours, and my practical suggestions might be a little bit different from yours, and that's okay. And maybe when I mention a practical suggestion, maybe it will spark something in your unique situation, in your thinking, that you may realize would be practical in your situation to help people with the gospel of Christ. So with that said, let's look at a few things. I think the first thing that has been successful in a lot of churches of God's people is to do the things that make for a caring congregation. Now, that seems like a very basic and simple principle, and it is. And sometimes we don't quite make that connection about being a loving and caring congregation with teaching the lost the gospel of Christ in order that they might be converted. But think with me just for a minute. if people come here and they see a people who love other people, then they will have an easier time concluding that this group of people could be the people that the Bible talks about. They could really be Christians, because Christians are people who love other people. And that's really in harmony with what Jesus said that John recorded in his gospel in chapter 13 and verse 35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. We want people to know that. We want people in Jackson to know that we're the disciples of Christ. Jesus is right here telling us how to do that. Love one another, and people will see it. Having the correct doctrine is very important. Don't misunderstand. Having the correct organization for the Lord's church is vitally important. Don't misunderstand and think that we're not saying that those things are not important. They are. They're very important. But it will be our love for one another that will convince the world that we are the disciples of Christ. Now that's a powerful thing that Jesus left us in his word to govern ourselves by, I think. Our love is something that makes us useful for the Lord. The Lord knows the condition of everybody that belongs to him on this earth. We can see that in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 in the letters addressed to the different churches that existed in the first century. If we are truly a congregation that can be used by the Lord, that can reach out to other people with the gospel, that can assimilate them into the family of God, can nurture them and help them to grow spiritually, if we're that kind of church, Jesus Christ will open doors for us. He will. That's the way it works. Well, suppose that in someone's perspective, and this may be the case, in someone's perspective, we're not really a place where Christians can grow spiritually in an atmosphere of love. Maybe not everyone believes that about this church. If that's true, with you and your sphere of people that you associate with in the Old Hickory Church, then there are some action steps that we can take to fix that. Aren't Christians supposed to be people who like to fix problems rather than create them? I think so. So if that's our perspective, we could fix that very easily. Now, a way that it's been practically utilized and fixed in other congregations where this has been true is, number one, know each other. How vitally important that is. Know your fellow church members. Know each other. Know their names. Know where they live. Know what they do. Know things about them. Let them know you. It's important that we know one another. And secondly, how important it is to practice hospitality with one another. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 and 9 admonishes Christians everywhere to practice hospitality. Some people do that by inviting people into their homes. Maybe to eat, or maybe not to eat. It doesn't have to be a meal. Some people choose to do that by saying, hey, let's meet at such and such place for a cup of coffee and a piece of apple pie. Just anything to get together, to know each other, to express appreciation for one another. And some people do that by setting a goal. There have been people that have realized, I've probably not taken advantage of every opportunity that I could. Could you give me some suggestions to help me improve that? And others come up with the idea, what works for me is this. What I do, for example, is I set a goal for myself that I'm going to contact someone, have them in my home, be in their home, meet them for lunch or whatever the situation is. I'm going to do that And my goal is, I'm going to do that 3 times a year. And then they proceed to, and that gives them enough time that if someone's schedule doesn't work out, they don't just throw up their hands and give up and not ever do anything again. And it's very important. If you don't visit with, meet with, show your hospitality toward anyone in this body, make it a goal for you. Start with one a year. One a year is better than zero a year. Just a goal that you can live with, that you can accomplish, that you can do. And see how that works. Visit other Christians frequently is a suggestion made by thinking about action steps to overcome a problem. Don't wait till they're sick. Don't wait till they're shut in. Visit them. Express care, appreciation, that type of thing. Of course, check on the sick. And of course, check on and visit those who are shut in. Those things are very important. Also, new members that are absent and from our assemblies and no one seems to know where they are. The elders have requested, if you know you're not going to be here, please let us know. Because if you don't, that's when the questions start swirling around. Where are they? And it's important for the congregation to know where you are when you're not here. It's important for the leadership to know. Those are some practical things. Okay. Do the things which make for a caring congregation. How important that is. Some have come up with making a list of souls that you would like to be saved. And I think that's a pretty good idea. Now, it may not seem important to you about making a list, but I assure you that it is, and I want to explain to you why. Making a list is a very effective technique used by people to get things accomplished. Now, you already know that, don't you? Don't you husbands know that when your wife writes on the refrigerator, please fix the leaky faucet? When the mother leaves a note on the refrigerator, please make your bed. We call that a to-do list. And that's an effective way, really, to keep things that need to be done before your eyes and before your focus, so that you can address those when you have the opportunity. It's worked for effective people in the business world and in the domestic world, in the home situation. What it does, it helps focus our attention on those that we hope to reach for Jesus Christ so that they are not neglected. And if we can overcome any area of neglect, it will certainly be good. Now, in making up a list, some people have said, okay, here's what you do. You start inwardly and you work outwardly. You start with your family members. You go to your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, your relatives that don't know Jesus Christ, and your casual acquaintances. There may be a person at the checkout, cashier at a grocery store that you see quite often that seems like a good person to you that you could invite to worship services, for example. Some casual acquaintance like that. Now people who are effective with these type of lists say try to limit that to maybe five to eight people. Not too many people so you will be overwhelmed and your efforts will be thwarted because you're not being very effective. But a list of a few people and give the priority to those people who don't go to church anywhere, who could benefit from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Usually, active members of a denomination or religion are pretty much satisfied with their human traditions, and they're not really all that receptive to the pure and simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Sadly, that's the case. And you may have talked to people before that say something like, well, I go to church at this place, but I don't believe everything they do. And usually that's in response to when they realize that there's something that the Bible says that they're not doing, or something that they're doing that the Bible speaks against, or something like that. And they want you to know that if given a choice, they would stand with the Scriptures, but they've been going there for X number of years, and their family members are there, and so they bury their conviction and make a decision about their religious practices before God based on other considerations, family or whatever. The Lord wouldn't have us do that. The Lord would have us always to put Him first in every situation, even if it means going against the traditions of our families. Husbands and wives might best have one list and jointly cooperate in using that list. And another important thing about making a list that helps it to be effective is keep it where you can see it every day. That helps you to not forget about it. It helps you to be constantly reminded of these people so that you will be more likely to do this. Pray for them every day. Get in a habit of praying for people that you know would benefit by the gospel of Christ, that you know they need to be saved. And if we do that, then our God will work together with us. He will open the door of faith. He will make the opportunity available. He will work through His Word, His power, in the life of the other person. To give you opportunities for doing good to them, Colossians 4 and verse 3, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been imprisoned, Paul said. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified just as it did also with you. It'll give you the wisdom to make the most of these opportunities if you include that in your prayer life. Ephesians 6:19 and 20, and pray on my behalf, Paul said, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth. Why would that be important, that the apostle's mouth would be opened? Not so he could tell people the latest joke that he heard, but to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We could use a little bit of that, couldn't we? With people we come in contact, that we may speak boldly as we ought to speak, that we may not be ashamed of our Lord when we speak. It's important that those on your list would have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ. And if there are people in your sphere that really have a good heart and an honest heart, the Word of God will do all the rest. It truly will. It's powerful. The seed planted in that kind of soil, Jesus said it'll produce fruit. It definitely will. I believe the promises of God, don't you? Remember that it's God who gives the increase. Paul was talking about his ministry in Corinth. He and Apollos preached there. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's an important principle for us to remember, too. Also, another practical thing that is important that we could do is to do the things that demonstrate love for them. If the people on our list, people that we're concerned about, need something, if they're in need, let's be there to help them. If they are suffering with a trial in this life, a problem in this life, a death in the family, whatever it is, let's be there to demonstrate the love of Christ to them, for them, support them, pray for them, offer to help them in any possible way that we can. Bless their lives in whatever condition they find themselves in this life. They'll take note of it. They'll appreciate it. They'll remember it. And it just may lead to the salvation of their soul. It just might. It's a great opportunity. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 12, "Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." The good deeds that others see in us will cause them pause and reflection. It truly will. Invite them to your home. Visit them. Do things with them on a social level. Those things are all very important. Of course, invite those who are on your list to attend the worship services of the church. The reasons to want them to attend the services, they will or should have an opportunity to see a caring congregation. If we are a caring congregation, we want other people to see that because they will appreciate it. And they'll want to be part of it. And they'll want to have more and more to do with Jesus Christ and His way of life. They will. It's a powerful, powerful draw. That combined with your own demonstration of love as an individual, the demonstration of love by others, it really should make a lasting impression on them. And it will. It will. And as you prepare to invite these souls, be sure that you pray. Pray to God and ask for wisdom to invite them in the best way possible. And ask God for boldness to offer an invitation to them to attend. I realize that some people are afraid to ask someone else to come to worship services. Make that one of your goals. If it takes a year for you to ask somebody to come, make that one of your goals to be more courageous in the kingdom, to speak for the Master. If you make one of your goals and you pray to God about that, you'll surprise yourself how courageous you will be. Demonstrate love toward those visitors that do attend is a very good way to ensure success in teaching others the gospel of Christ, whether they're invited by you or someone else, or whether they just walk through those doors. Greet them and let them know that they are welcome here. We are glad they're here. We are very happy that they are here. You may even go so far as to say, "Do you have a place to eat lunch? Would you... Could I feed you lunch? Could I visit you later? Could I call you later?" And call them. Express appreciation for them being here. We have a lot of visitors that don't live in Jackson, but they do fill out a visitor's card. It's very good of us to drop them a line and say, "We appreciate you being here. We know you were traveling. We know you were on vacation, or we know you were on business. We appreciate you because you had an interest in worshiping God even when you were away from home. We appreciate that so much. It's an encouragement for us." And I try to put those, when we receive a visitor's card from someone, I try to put those in the family matters so that it will give you an opportunity, if you want to, jot them a note, let them know how much you appreciate their visit. Recently, we had a couple to visit with us. They weren't sure of our service times. They thought they were six o'clock, so they came in a little bit late. A young couple visited here. They're moving to Jackson. Their contact information is in Family Matters today, by the way. They said something that struck me as a very sad situation. They went to a congregation that Sunday morning, a very large congregation in this town, and they made the comment that no one said anything to them. Now, for for God's people that are interested in the souls of others, that's a horrible thing. If that's true, that's a horrible thing. I pray that that will never be said about this congregation. And I know that it can't be said truthfully about their situation, because when they were here, people went to them and expressed to them how grateful we were to have them visit with us. They may be back because they're moving here, and I hope that they will. It's important, really. I guess the bottom line on everything is to see that people have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ. Ideally, this will come after they see a demonstration of the gospel in our lives. After they see our love and our concern for them. After they see firsthand that we're hospitable people. Those positive things have an effect on people. It's part of letting your light shine and being the salt of the earth. Those things are very powerful. But the important thing is, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation. The power is not in you. The power to save a soul is not going to be because you have delicious apple pie and coffee when you invite them to your house. That's not going to be the thing that saves their soul. The thing that saves their soul is when they hear the words of Christ and they latch onto those, and those words in their hearts that they think about and try to apply to their lives and in their day-to-day situations, it has the power to take even an old, rough, rotten sinner and make him clean and acceptable and righteous before God. It's the power of the Word that does that. Isn't it great that it doesn't all rest on our shoulders? For something as valuable as the soul and what happens to it at judgment doesn't rest on our ability or inability to converse with someone about the pleasantries of life, you know? It's the Word of God that has the power to save. That's the important thing. If you don't feel like you're capable enough to teach someone the gospel of Christ, there are loads of people in this congregation who will love the opportunity to sit down at your kitchen table and help someone with the gospel of Christ. Call on them to help you. Introduce them to your friends, your relatives, or, you know, work it that way. And that will be good to do that. Well, these are some suggestions that are offered. With a firm conviction, because of the success and the effectiveness and the practical nature of them that is demonstrated in a lot of other places, that if they are carried out, those opportunities will result in open doors of faith, conversions of other people, the growth of this body, the growth of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We have an upcoming gospel meeting. It's 4 weeks away. And these things can be practical for us to help us take advantage of the gospel meeting that's coming up. Brother Aaron Andrews, who preaches for the church in Anderson, Alabama, just below the Tennessee state line, is coming. He's going to preach the truth. It'd be a great opportunity to invite people to come. Sometimes, in view of gospel meeting coming up and people thinking about what can I do, I know I need to do something to help, but what can I do? I tried this before, it didn't quite work out. What could I do? Some couples in churches have gone to some of their friends, another couple, and said, hey, let's get together and do something to promote our meeting. Let's knock on some doors. Let's mail out some invitations. You know, people love to get personal invitations to something. Handwritten personal invitations to weddings, to showers. People like that. Do that with our gospel meeting. Those things work sometimes. If you're having trouble being a self-motivator, which a lot of people really are, it's hard, you know, there are things that I have to do. The hardest thing is the first step. But, you know, if you've got someone standing beside you that can take your hand and say, I'm with you, let's make that first step. That first step is a whole lot easier. We've canvassed this neighborhood before when we've had a meeting. And when we met here at the building and we went out and we came back, and I tell you, you could just see on everyone's face the beaming coming from the face about people we talked to and the interest that was shown and the opportunities that could be out there, that are out there, that we maybe have overlooked sometimes in the past. And we felt good about what we did. And it's a good thing to do that. The fruits of that, we've had people to come here from across the street, which is very, very important. We've had success from that. But if you have someone that you want to work with you on that, go for it. Do it together. Do things together. That type of thing can be very successful. Okay, those are some practical ideas, and you have your ideas too. Let's just make sure that we do what we can to help others to realize the gospel of Christ, to pray for them, to teach them as we have opportunity, and God will open a door of faith to the Gentiles. If you're in our assembly tonight and you're not a Christian, we'd like to encourage you to think seriously about your condition. The Son of God said that you must believe in Him in order to have remission of sins. That's what we should do. Believe in Jesus Christ with all of our heart. Obey what He says for us to do in order to be forgiven of our sins. And if we can help you with that tonight, we would be delighted to do that very thing. If we can, take a courageous step out into the aisle. Come down here at the front. We'll pray with you, pray for you, baptize you into Christ if that's what you need. We'll make sure that we do everything to help you walk closer with God when you leave this building than when you first came in. Can we help you? If we can, please come and let us know while we stand together and sing this song.